Well, as you know, we have announced these services today, and we were referring to it this morning. We put a question to the community: are you lost and found, or found? We also included that well-known verse of John Newton, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." Because in those famous words, he, speaking from his own experience, tells us that he passed from the condition of being lost into a condition of being found. Himself, he was a notorious sinner. He was a slave ship owner, slave trader in that sense, and he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost," past tense, "but now am found," present tense. "Was blind," past tense, "but now I see." Now, we've been learning this morning that these are biblical terms. And we saw it from the words of Jesus to Zacchaeus here in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, himself a notorious sinner, and yet Jesus summarizes his whole mission to the world in these words: "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, we've only really looked at one word from this text, a very important word that we have to understand if we know, are to know what it is to be sought and found by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we said that many people have a sense of this lostness in their lives, but they struggle to know what causes it and what it means. So we give three identifiers of this spiritual lostness. First of all, our lostness is separation from God. Our sins and our iniquities have separated between us and our God. And then secondly, lostness is confusion. We're separated from God so that we are out of the way, but we're also blind. We can't find the way. And so men the world over are making their own ways, whether they be religious paths, whether they be the path of pleasure, trying to find that which they've lost, but ultimately they are left with that gnawing sense of emptiness and a longing in their heart for something more. And thirdly, lostness is perdition. Our separation from God, our confusion in this life, these are features of the road that are leading to eternal lostness. Because if we die in our sins, we are lost eternally in hell. Well, all of that is bad news. Concluding with the message of an eternal hell, it makes that bad news somewhat difficult to preach. I don't think that there should be a preacher in the world who delights to preach upon the subject of hell. He may delight in it insofar as it's in the Word of God, and he wants to please God. He wants to be faithful to the text of Scripture. But emotionally, within himself, it will cause brokenness of heart. We have no delight in telling people that they are going to perish eternally under the judgment of God in hell. But what we do delight to tell them is that sinners are not only faced with the problem of their lostness, but the solution to that problem in the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen again to the words of our text. It describes us as lost. That's the bad news. But listen to this trumpet announcement of glorious good news: "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, that's the gospel. In other words, he comes to find sinners. So having looked this morning at what it is to be lost, we move on this afternoon to consider what it is to be found. And we've got two main points, very simply, from this text of Scripture. The first is, to be found is to be sought by Christ. And the second is, to be found is to be saved by Christ. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So with God's help, let's consider this first of all, that to be found is to be sought by Christ. Christians who know Christ, we often speak of our conversion in terms like this. I found the Lord. I found Christ. I found the Saviour. And sometimes we may even ask that question. It was on the front of our Good News magazines we were giving out to the homes. Have you found the Saviour? Well, there's a place for that kind of language because men, in a sense, in their own experience, are seeking. They're wanting to find the answer to this problem of their lostness. But the truth behind those statements is rather this. Christ is the one who finds us. Christ is the one that finds us. You see, children, who's lost? God's not lost, is he? Christ's not lost, is he? We're lost. And so the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which was lost. So we're thinking about this first verb, this first action of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean that the Son of Man comes to seek that which was lost? Well, two things. First of all, he seeks us in his life. He seeks us in his life. The Son of Man, says Jesus, who is also the Son of God, comes into the world for this very purpose. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ is a rescue mission in which he would find and recover a lost and perishing multitude of sinners. And that's what he's engaged in here in this very chapter, in Luke chapter 19. Oh, he's going up to Jerusalem. We read that in the chapter before. But he's passing through Jericho. At the end of the previous chapter, he meets a blind man. Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy upon me. What's he doing? He's seeking the lost. Now he's in Jericho. And a man called Zacchaeus climbs up a tree. And Jesus passes by and he says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. Because this day I must abide in your house. Well, you see again in this example, he's seeking the lost. But let's widen it out. The whole life of Jesus can be described as his coming into the world in order to seek and to save that which was lost. So we can say that Jesus is seeking sinners in his birth. What a wonderful thing. The miracle of the incarnation, that the eternal Son of God and God the Son should be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, should have this humanity united unto his deity, in order that he might take our nature to rescue us from our sins. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Even before he was born, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 9 months later, he's brought forth in Bethlehem of Judea, and there were shepherds abiding in the hill fields, watching over their flocks by night. And heaven opened. And what did they hear? They heard, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Well, there it is. In all of the ordinariness of that birth, the cries, the screams, the groans, into the world the Son of Man comes seeking that which was lost. But then he seeks sinners in his truth. At the age of 30, he embarks upon a very public ministry. He begins to teach. He gathers people at the mountain, and when he was set, he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Except your righteousness exceed that which of the scribes and Pharisees, you in no wise will enter into the kingdom of God. What's he doing? He's teaching. He's seeking sinners. Nicodemus comes to him by night. Nicodemus is grappling with this problem. Master, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. Nobody does the works that you do. And it's as if Jesus just stops him in mid-sentence and he says, Nicodemus, you're not going to understand it unless you're born again. If we could open that out, paraphrase it, he says, Nicodemus, you're dead in sins. The Spirit of God needs to bring you to new life. Not only to enter the kingdom, but to see it. You can't even see the kingdom of God without this. All those glorious I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ, directed to those who were by nature out of the way, in order that he might bring them back into the way. Indeed, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What's he doing? In his teaching, he's seeking that which was lost. In his birth, in his truth, but he also seeks sinners in his death. And it's in our chapter here, Luke chapter 19. Where do we see it? Well, children, you know when it's going to rain, you look out, and on the horizon you see a big black cloud. Well, that's where the death of Jesus is in Luke chapter 19. Where is he now? He's in the city of Jericho. But he's en route to the city of Jerusalem. And Luke chapter 18 tells us in verse 31, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Jesus is en route to the cross. He's going to suffer in that humanity that he took for our salvation. He's going to die for the sins of his people. If we could go back to the illustration that we read earlier in Luke chapter 15, there's a shepherd and there's a lost sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. And there's a beautiful phrase at the end of verse 4 which really applied to the ministry of Christ ought to break our hearts. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You say, what's so beautiful about that text of Scripture? Friends, when applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes after it until he finds it. Jesus knows where the sheep is. And Jesus knows what he has to go through until he finds it. It's going to take him through the path of his own outer darkness. It's going to require him to walk through the valley of humiliation and death. It's going to require him to drink a cup of damnation in order that he might get his hands, if you like, upon his lost sheep. the Son of Man comes to seek sinners in his birth, in his truth, in his death. He must go to the cross. He must there be crushed. He must take the punishment of our sins. He must cry out of his own darkness, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. He must say, my God, why have you forsaken me? In order that you might say, the Lord is my shepherd. No sinner in the history of the world could ever say, the Lord is my shepherd and know its truth, unless Jesus the shepherd passed through this. When we read in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's our word lost. It's the same word. That whosoever believeth in him should not be lost, but have everlasting life. When we read those words, it's this kind of love that we're talking about. A love that took Christ through hell in order that he might seek that which was lost. Can we even begin to estimate that love? His sheep in his heart, as he endures the wrath of God to seek sinners and bring them salvation. Well, you see, our Lord Jesus Christ seeks us in his life. But there's another way that Jesus seeks us. Jesus also seeks us in our life. He seeks us in our life. And you see that throughout the Gospels, in his own ministry. We find Jesus invading the lives of men with this message of good news. It's very much to the fore in Luke chapter 19. Here's a man, curious though he might be, he's climbed up a tree, and Jesus is walking through the midst of Jericho, and there's people thronging the streets, and Jesus is now going to invade his life. He says, Zacchaeus, you sir, come down here. You see it? Come down from the tree. What kind of men does the Lord Jesus Christ seek in their life? Read the scriptures. All kinds of men. Religious men like Nicodemus. Luke chapter 18, we read of another man, self-righteous though he was. Good master, what things should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus confronts him with the gospel. But so often it's these kinds of men. We read of it in Luke chapter 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Luke chapter 19, verse 7. What do we read there? The self-righteous Pharisees criticizing Jesus. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. So objectionable to the proud. A reason for criticism from the self-righteous. But if you and I know today our sin, can we hear anything sweeter than this? That he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner? He sat down with sinners. He taught sinners. And he saved many of them. So we think about Zacchaeus. Something was interesting him that day. Something was making him curious. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Very well. Well, everybody's been talking about this Jesus of Nazareth. I suppose I'll go out and listen or see if I can see him. So he climbs a tree. Who is this Jesus anyway? But Jesus was actually seeking Zacchaeus. Seeking him in everything that went before, all these curious thoughts. Seeking him in a sense, giving him the impulse to climb that tree. Seeking him as he now walks by. Seeking him as he points him out. As he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Or what about John chapter 4? Jesus says to his disciples, I have to go through Samaria. You can almost see the disciples saying, you're going to do what? We don't go through Samaria. The Samaritans are dogs. No, we cross over the Jordan. We go up the east bank. We cross over again further north into Galilee. We don't go through Samaria. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaria, with the Samaritans. And we could almost hear Jesus say, I've got somebody to meet. It's this lady. She's going to be at a well. She's had five husbands. She's now living with a man who's not even her husband. But I need to tell her about water, that if she drinks it, she's never going to thirst again. What's he doing? He's seeking the sheep in their life. That woman went away, said, Come and see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. He just opened my life to me. Well, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you can look back in hindsight, can't you? And you can say, I know this is true. When I look back at every stage of my lostness, whatever degree of rebellion I was living in, no matter how it showed itself in my life, I can now see that Jesus was preparing the way. Jesus was pursuing me. He invaded my life. He shook my circumstances. He took things from me which were my idols. He made me restless in this world. He sent people into my life. He sent his word into my life. Not only did he seek sinners in his own life, but continuing his own life in heaven, he seeks sinners in their own lives. And for those of you who are here today, and you might say of yourself, well, I'm still lost. Perhaps that is exactly what Jesus is doing right now. Even in this community this week. People here, people outside, people we know, maybe he's shaking their lives, maybe he's sending people to them. We know he sent us to them this week. Maybe in time he will bring them in here, he will make them curious like Zacchaeus to wonder, what is it all about? And as the gospel goes forth in the community, it's like Jesus going through Jericho. The Son of Man is passing this way. Oh, that he would visit men and houses with his salvation. You know, there's something very solemn about this. Jesus will not pass this way again. He's going to the cross. He's going to die. In some respects, it's like Zacchaeus' only chance. But Jesus passes by, he seeks him, he brings him to himself. So what does it mean to be found by Christ? To be found by Christ is to be sought by him, sought in his life and sought in our life. But secondly, to be found by Christ is to be saved by Christ. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now we've been focusing upon how he sought his people in his life and in our life. But in all of that, we can roll the two together. He's saving his people from their sins as well. So that to be found is to be saved. Now, if I can remind you of everything we looked at this morning, what it was to be lost. To be lost was to be in separation from God. To be lost was to be in confusion. To be lost, ultimately, is to be in perdition. Well, surely what it means to be found, what it means to be saved, is the reverse of that. So if to be lost meant separation, to be found means reconciliation. to be found means reconciliation or restoration. In the beginning, Adam sins and all men in him are separated from God. We're cut off from his presence. We're expelled from the Garden of Eden. And the silent question posed at the end of Genesis chapter 3 is this: how can the paradise that we have just lost be restored? And from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 22, the answer is simple: Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. How can the paradise that we lost be restored? In Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. That's why in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, we're given the new Eden. And there we are, by the tree of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is leading his people to feed their souls upon that tree of life. The problem has been solved. He comes into the world and he deals with our sin on the cross. He suffers our expulsion. He endures our separation from God when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that expulsion and separation, he is bringing sinners near unto God by his blood. He's smashing down the barriers of our iniquity. He's drinking the cup of our condemnation. He's bringing sinners who were afar off, and he's making them nigh by his own blood. What that means for you then today is that to be found by the Lord Jesus Christ requires that you see him as this glorious sin bearer, that you acknowledge your sin and repent of it and take him as your only hope of salvation. And then that anger of God that we spoke about this morning, God being angry with the wicked every day, his wrath abiding upon the children of unbelief, then that anger of God will be found to have been extinguished in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you who were enemies and cut off from God, now restored into joy and fellowship and peace with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. So to be lost meant separation, but to be found means restoration. But secondly, to be lost meant confusion. To be found means satisfaction. To be lost meant confusion. To be found means satisfaction. We've said that lost sinners tend to know that there's something wrong, something missing. And so they begin to search in life to try and fill up this void, this longing in their hearts. They're seeking some kind of satisfaction. But because of the blindness of their own minds, they look for it in all of the wrong places. Now, we called that confusion this morning, didn't we? But when the sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives truth and clarity to him in his confusion, when the sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he find? He finds satisfaction. How many of us here today could testify to it? I was seeking my pleasure, I was seeking my satisfaction in the world. And I learned through time that I had to continually keep going back to it. More and more of the same thing. It was like I couldn't quite get enough of it. Well, you couldn't get enough of it because you were trying to satisfy your heart with something that could ultimately never satisfy it. You see, the heart of a sinner without God is like a bottomless bucket. Now, suppose I give you a hose, children, and I said, doesn't matter how much water you use today, I want you to fill this bucket with no bottom. Do you think you'd ever manage it? You couldn't. You might be able to wet the sides. You might be able to get water to sit on the rim until that water evaporates, but you'll never fill the bucket. That's like the pleasures of the world to the heart of a sinner. He has to continually go to the hose to try and fill the bucket, but all he ever does is wet the sides of the bucket. But listen to this. Jesus Christ brings us into union with the infinite God, and the infinite God is able to satisfy the longing soul. And when we come to God in Christ for the first time, not only do we find satisfaction, but we find the meaning of life. We find the point to living. We find the purpose of our existence. Because we are restored into the fellowship that we lost with God in the beginning. Now, can you remember Our Lady this morning? She was doing very well externally. She had the job. She had the two children. She was financially safe. But she says, I was actually miserable. I was empty. I was lost, completely lost, with no clue how to get home. What was her answer? Well, I found yoga. I began to do the splits and I found satisfaction. I began to bend and breathe and I found the purpose of life. Well, there she is with her hose. And she's just maybe turned the power up a little bit, but she's still just wetting the sides of the bucket. I'm sure yoga is very good for you in terms of flexibility, but it can do nothing to satisfy the longing heart. Nothing. And then we had that teenager, I feel like a lost soul, without sense of purpose or direction. I also sometimes feel lost when I think about what will happen to me after my death. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with it. And all I can do is think about it. Has anyone gone through this? And if so, how did you overcome it? Don't let the yoga lady answer the question. Keep him away from the yoga lady. Don't tell him it's about self-realization. Tell him the answer is Jesus. Tell him that only Jesus can turn the confusion of our lostness into the satisfaction of knowing what it is to be eternally saved. Tell this lost, dying, and confused world, brethren, tell them about Jesus, the Son of Man who came to seek and to save, and we could add, and to satisfy that which was lost. But thirdly, to be lost meant everlasting perdition. But to be found means eternal salvation. To be lost meant everlasting perdition. To be found means eternal salvation. The person who dies in his sin, the person who is lost all his life and not found before he leaves it, will be lost forever. He will enter an endless hell of outer darkness and conscious distress eternally. But for those who come to Christ and are found by him, they too are going to continue in everlasting existence. But their experience is not one of outer darkness, but perfect light. And their experience is not one of conscious distress, but conscious, everlasting, unspeakable delight. Yes, friends, there is a hell. That is one of the cardinal truths of the Christian religion. But here's another one. You don't have to go there. Because there's also a heaven. Do you know the way? Do you know the way? There's one way. Many ways into hell and no way out. One way into heaven. Thank God, no way out either. One way into heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that cometh, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when they come to me, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's our word again, lost. They shall never be lost. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never be lost. We enter the joy of the Lord. Why? Because the Son of Man did what he came to do. He sought the sheep. He saved the sheep. And so in answer to our question today, are you lost or found? Well, we can all say this, by nature I was lost. But can we say this? By grace, by amazing grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see.